Okay, today's daf is daf Nun Aleph, and we have found that Rava told us that the meaning of the word chashkalo is not that it actually had gotten dark already, because if it had actually gotten dark, then he would have to be in that place. Because he needs to be able to get to the place where he's operating to in order to be able to have it a good air. So when it says chashkalo, it meant it was chashkalo if he tried to get home. It's already dark, too dark to make it home, but he could still make it to that tree. Of course, any way he could make it to that tree would be okay. If he would make it in a sprint, which he has no intention of doing, but he has to be able to do it, and that's the value. The value is that even though he could be there and be ma'ariv baraglav mamash, but he sure doesn't feel like sprinting. He'd like to be alive when he gets there. So therefore, he can operate there, and then he can walk slowly whenever he wants to. He can get there.
Why not use an animal?
What's that? Why not use a jet plane? Even better. Whatever the case is. Oh, so let's see again. Amar Rava, v'hudach yiroitli karomati. That's only if the fastest he could get there, he would get there. When I have a chashkalo, it says it got dark. No, that means chashkalo beitah. It's too dark for him to possibly make it home. Avali karosh. If he could get to the bottom of the tree. Ikari Amre, the other Lashon, is Rava explains the word chashkalo doesn't mean in terms of his home. The word chashkalo does mean it's too dark for him, too late, in other words, for him to make it to the tree at the rate that he's currently going. That's what it means. In other words, if he continues to walk, kimazki kalikali, if he walks slowly, he's not going to make it to that tree. But if he would have run, avarohit mati. So therefore, we're measuring the darkness by his current velocity, so to speak, his current speed. Based on his current speed, it's dark. But that doesn't mean that it doesn't have to be possible to get there at some other achievable speed. Okay, so the difference between the two lashonot is not in the halakha. The difference between the two lashonot is simply in the term, chashka. Would we use chashka in terms of his ultimate goal, getting home, or do we mean chashka right now, where he is, it's too late? And then we'd have to explain, it means it's too late as per his current speed. Rabba, Rav Yosef, Abek Asli, the Urcha, Rabba, was walking with Rav Yosef along the road. Omale Rabba, Rav Yosef, so Rabba said to Rav Yosef, I have a great idea, we're not going to make it. So why don't we just apparate to underneath the Ishvitatenu Tuti Dikla de Savalachua, to that famous tree on which another tree is leaning? In other words, there was a tree there, which an adjacent tree had nearly collapsed, and one tree was supporting the other tree, or some say the tree he referred to was the Tuti Dikla de Parakamari Mikarga. Let's have our Makom Shvita under the famous palm tree that delivers its owner from taxes, meaning it has so much fruit on it, that he just uses this tree to pay up all his taxes, then he's free from the rest of us. Everybody knew that tree. Well, Rav Yosef said, well, maybe everybody else knows it. I don't know it. Lo yadanali. I don't know where that tree is. I'm not going to operate there. And here come the fateful words that ended up destroying the modern Israel. Omale smoch alai. When somebody tells you smoch alai, run.
You can trust me.
So Rabba told Rav Yosef, look, I know where that tree is, so hold on tight, and we're going to operate out there together. To Tanya, the basis of my saying this is a braita in which Rabbi Yossi Omer, im hayushnayim, if two people were walking along the road, and echad makir, echad sheino makir, one of them knows where the location is, and the other one doesn't. The one who doesn't know becomes the guest of the one who knows. He says, look, you know, I'm with you for Shabbat, okay? Okay, great. Now hold on tight. And the one who does know the coordinates, so he says those coordinates. The truth is, he won't know such braita. He made it up, you see. But he knew that Rabbi Yosef. Actually, there were such a braita, but it wasn't Rabbi Yossi. So, Velohi, Elo Tonen like Rabbi Yossi. Actually, that braita was not going like Rabbi Yossi. He only said it like Rabbi Yossi. Ki echad the kabbalah mina. He knew that way he'd believe him and would accept that that's the halacha. Mishum de Rabbi Yossi limuko imo. Because we have a klal to paskin like Rabbi Yossi. Now, the fact is, if you take a look at this braita in the Tosefta, it says Rabbi Yossi Omer, exactly as we have it here. Which is why, as some of the achronim understand that the point is, he didn't hold that that was correct. But he wasn't going to get into what he held the Yossi should be. He said, listen, it says it's not good enough for you. Yeah, fine. They wouldn't make up that it was Rabbi Yosef. However, lo, he means l'shitato. It really wasn't said by Rabbi Yosef, but he held that was all over. What's wrong with saying over the years? He doesn't know that. Maybe Rabbi Yosef does hold it against him. Ine no makir, hosheino baki. And then we say, okay, if you're stuck, either because you don't have the coordinates or because you don't know the din, you see, you haven't gotten your apparition license yet. So what do you do? And you have your 2,000 amot from the place that you're at. So where does this business come from? Now, getting back to, I mean, just like we finally got to figure out where the 4 amot come from a few days ago. Finally going to figure out where the 2,000 amot come from, because they don't seem to be written anywhere in the Torah. Certainly, if they are Rabbonan, what were the Rabbonan thinking? Where did they ever see something that is defined Shabbat-wise in terms of Apayamama, the time. Shavu Ish Tachtav. Now, our favorite pasuk in this sugya of the Shavu Ish Tachtav, Ayetse Ish Mimikomo V'Yom HaShabbat, which explained that was the shorish of the four Amot, the Shavu Ish Tachtav, that underneath the Tofes Arba Amot. And interestingly, the Ayetse Ish Mimikomo says the Gemara, the Shavu Ish Tachtav is Elo Arba Amot. The Ayetse Ish Mimikomo refers to Apayamama. And how do we see Apayamama in this pasuk? Omer of Chista, well, we need to do a little bit of broadening our horizons through some powerful literary analysis over here, you see. Ayetze ish mimekomo. Now, there are psukim in which the concept of mikomo is associated with running away mimekomo. V'samti lecha makom asher yanus shama, makom nisa. So makom, therefore, it's as if we have here a concept of makom vis-a-vis nisa, because the dinim of these cities ultimately are defined by the running away for someone who's going to the Ir Miklat, and that's what a place becomes. Now, we also do...
What's that? Coming from kind of self, having the ear to escape to...
Yes, correct. So, nisa is learnt out from other psukim, where nisa comes together with the mention of the gvul, of the boundary of nisa. This is the gvul Ir Miklato asher yonushama. So, nisa and gvul are interrelated by definition. By definition, this is Zera Shavah. Now, once we know that, gvul can also be learned out from a place where we have gvul together with chutz. So even though this gvul doesn't say chutz, but there is a place where gvul does say chutz, where it says gumatza otogo el adam chutz migvul hir miklato. So okay, so then there is a relationship of the gvul and the chutz, the gvul that relates to the nisa, which is defined by the makom, which is connected to the place that the person had. What's the, has the old song going on in your nursery rhyme? You want to know something about that? Yeah, you don't know that? They don't teach that in chiropractic? I thought that's what you learned. That's what I thought. And now that chutz, that chutz relates back to the big chutz, which is how to measure a city in michutz. And that's what it's all about, basically. That's what we want to figure out. What is a mokom that measures out of a city, or where you are the city? Then it's madotem michutz la'ir et pat kedma alpayim ba'ama. So there the pasuk goes through pat kedma alpayim ba'ama vet pat negev alpayim ba'ama vet pat yam alpayim ba'ama vet pat zafon alpayim ba'ama. See, there you got it. 2,000 amot in all directions, and therefore the Torah is telling you the shear of Alpayim Ama, which we then apply to the sense of one's personal makom, that a Rabbanan, and create a din, which we mentioned earlier, that we cannot see Tchumim as a simple extension, even if you hold a Yud Beit Mil Midiraita, Alpayim Ama is an absurd extension of Yud Beit Mil, which is why, if you recall, one of the approaches that we had to the sugya earlier is that even Meir Tchumim were not mentioned in the Torah. Because the concept that we are talking about of having a place in the Komo is unrelated to the real din in the Torah of Tchumim, which is completely a different order of magnitude. We'll see. We've already seen a little bit about the Kodrim Baharim, but we'll see more detail later. So now, wait. If all of this is based on chutz, l'ir, is at kedma, and so on, there's another chutz that relates to the gvul of an ear, which is only 1,000 amot, where it says, over there, now, Elef Ama is not Alpayim, because the Gemara learns out from here that we have Elef, there's difference, there's Sadot, and then there's Migrash. So a city requires an area that is parkland, and then you can have an agricultural area associated with the city beyond the parkland. That's the way in which we build cities. So that Elef Bama outside needs to be completely free of any kind of construction or any kind of agricultural work. And that's the whole beauty of the city, is that it's surrounded by park. And then 1,000 Amot beyond that, you have land that can be used for orchards and planting and so on. And that's amazing. I mean, that's the halach of the Torah of how to build a city. Well, it would have done us some good. Huh? So...
The agricultural work can damage the wall.
What? The agricultural work can damage the wall. You're confusing things. So, now the question is, why not learn out 1,000 amot? Why learn 2,000 amot? Danin chutz michutz, and danin chutz michutza. The pasuk that mentions 1,000 says, v'chutza elef amot, whereas the chutz that we darshan before is the alpayim v'ama, and therefore we go to the lashon of michutz, which is the basis of our gzeirah shavah in the first place, and not the chutza, which is a different word. Ah, come on, my nafkamina. Hatana devei Rabbi Yishmael, v'shava kainu ba'akohin, zohi shiva, zohi biyah. We have a famous drasha, which we don't even look for a vague similarity in the actual word. We only look for the not the teva shava, not the milah shava, but the gzeirah shava. That's the whole point. The gzeirah means the cut of the concept is similar. So the otagzera. Otagzera doesn't mean it's the same word, it doesn't mean it's the same etymology. So in the context of the dinim, of the Kohen coming to check a nega, coming back to check a nega, and coming to check a nega are the same thing. So whether it says ba Kohen or whether it says shava Kohen, we have a right to learn that they are similar halachot, and this makes tremendous nafkaminas in terms of tzarat batim. We learn out an actual additional week of bedika. So if Tanit Bei Rebbe Shmuel can do that with shav and ba, I mean, we can certainly do it with chutzah, chutzah, can't we? Same, there it's literally the same word. Says the Gemara, that's all very nice, but ani melechad like a mida d'danila. That's only where we don't have an actual word that is beckoning, you see. But here, hechadik a mida d'danila, if you have an alternative between a word and between a similar concept that is not as close in the word, then mida d'danila yalfina, from which, of course, we have the famous Pirush HaMeiri that everybody has taken, that a gzera shava never points to the coordinates of gzera shava. It only, you have to be makabel gzera shava. So, I mean, either you know that this is Zera Shavah or you don't know. Right? I mean, what does the Gemara mean? Why are we looking? It's clear that the Kabbalah of Zera Shavah were not the coordinates of Zera Shavah. It was the word or the term or the concept of Zera Shavah. Now you have to figure out what was it referring to. Then we had our Mishnah, in which we introduced this new idea of squaring. So there it says, Alpaya Mama, Lachol Ruach, Agulot, Tiferi B'chanina Benatim. Now that was a very esoteric statement that the Mishnah made, which we're going to get into now. Are you going to be able to make it here? Yeah. Okay. We do have a physician present.
It's getting to the time of year. I just heard that.
Got to take your pills.
Yeah.
Do your exercises.
For sure.
And get that right to get that right kind of stuff. Okay, so that's according to Rav Chanina ben Atignas, we have the we always have a circle around you of 2,000 amot. If Chachamim say no, we have a square around you. Since they have a square around you, that square is actually built around an inscribed circle of 2,000 amot, which gives you a square that also has the hypotenuse, in this case the diagonal of a square, but the hypotenuse of a triangle that you would build facing your one direction, you'd have your 2,000 amot in a corner. And then, if you turn to the side, you're looking at that same line, which now becomes the hypotenuse of a triangle, in our case, the diagonal of the square. Since what we do is we take the square root of 2 as being 1.4, for all halachic purposes, which we learn out elsewhere in the Gemara. So therefore, what we have to do is add to our 2,000 amot 1.4, which gives us another 800 amot. Okay, very nice. So if that's the case, it's quite not clear what that means. Does it mean now you make a circle around that square so that you have 2,800 amot in all directions? Or does it mean that magically it's squared according to the way you're looking? So the square always follows you? Or does it mean that it's squared according to the directions of the world, so that if it's north, east, south, west, then we look at the square, but if you're facing southeast, then you've got 2,800 amot.
What would be different between the first two? Circle facing any direction you want, it's the same thing.
No, because if I'm facing ahead of me, then if I throw straight ahead, then it's 2,000 amot. And if I turn, then it's 2,800 amot.
But if it turns wherever you want, it's the same as the circle.
No, I have to choose where I am. What a clip we could move. All four of those shitot are, all three of those shitot, there's four shitot in this way, but all three of those shitot are mentioned among the various Rishonim. This becomes, now this sugya, becomes the mucker of that whole question, as we'll see. So I asked the Gemara, Rav Chanina ben Atignas, I mean, where does he get this from, that it's Agulot? You see, if he's learning these Alpaim Amot to be patterned on the model of the Orei Alavim, which we just showed with our Gzirah Shavah, it says b'feirush, in that pasuk that we learn it from, pe'at kedma, pe'at mizracha. Now, to me, pe'at means a pe'at. The pe'at is insisting that there's the corner which is outside of the igul, so to speak, which extends to the edges, meaning the diagonal. So there's got to be a square if there's a pe'at. Last I looked, I never found a circle with a pe'at on it. Right? So therefore, it must mean square. So it says peyot. Ve'ilet le'gzerah shavah. Look, if he's not learning it from that pasuk of ka'at, then where the heck did he come up with alpayim amah? Alpayim amah minale. I mean, watch me pull alpayim amah out of my hat. How is he going to come up with alpayim amah? Answers the Gemara, Olam itle gzera shavai. Thus hold of the gzera shava, v'shayne acha b'yamar kra, ze iye lahem migrishay ha'arim. Since it stresses over here, in that very same pasuk, after discussing four times, pa'at, the year batavech, the year being in the middle, concludes the pasuk, v'ze ze iye lahem, this is migrishay ha'arim, which means, aha, only ze, meaning only migrishay ha'arim, Shabbat, that any extension of this din is limited to the Alpayim Amah, not to the Peyah. Because a city, being somewhat stuck in its place, has a concept of a city boundary, which there it makes sense to go northeast, southwest, and extend the city, not necessarily a perfect square, but in a rectangular shape. And then, as a matter of fact, if you take a look on maps, you'll usually see that that's done in terms of municipal boundaries. Maybe not necessarily northeast, southwest, but they're not curvy; they're squared. So we do the same thing over here. But it certainly doesn't mean to extend it into a square. If you're a person, where'd you get that square from? Because wherever you're looking, it's the same shape, the Alpayim Amah. Whereas the Rabbanan, what do they do with the Zed? The Zed does seem to say this particularly. Ah, they say on the contrary. The Rabbanan say, Tani Rav Hananya Omer. Kazeh you kol shavtei Shabbat. On the contrary, Zeh means we so define the meaning of the measurements. Zeh, as hinted at here, how hinted at Ta'at, which makes me understand that there must be a square hidden in this pasuk. This is so defined, Zeh, according to which, amazingly, all of the shiurim of Shabbat are not what they appear to be. So when we say you carry Arba Amot in Rishut Rabim, we don't mean you carry Arba Amot in Rishut Rabim. We mean you carry Arba Amot times 1.4 in the Rishut Rabim. And when we say, if you have a Mokum Choshev of Arba Al Arba, we mean if you have a Mokum Choshev Al Arba times 1.4, and so on and so forth. In other words, all Shiurim are given not in their practical application, but as they're given in the Pasuk. We tell you what the Shiur is, then to apply it, you have to start placing a square around the circle that we give you. Now that's a fantastic finish. Changes everything. Om Rav Acha Bar Yaakov. According to this, Hamavir Arba Amot Pershut Rabim Eino Chayav Ad Shemavir Hein Valach Sonan. You're only Chayav if you also are Mavir, not only the Arba Amot, but it has to also have the square root of 2 times the Arba Amot. So that means for each one of these Arba Amot, you're going to be taking an additional 0.4. Okay, so then you're going to have the Trei Chumshi, you're going to end up with 8 Chumshi, which is 5 Amot and 3/5, in order to be able to be Chayav. And this 4 Amot is only the basis of where we come out with the Shear, perhaps. Now, as I say, there's different ways of understanding this. One way of understanding it, which is this is the Magid Mishnah, says, if you look at the Mishnah, I understand how you're going to read the Mishnah otherwise. It says, Kidei Shein Niskar Lezaviyot. And what does that mean? That you gain something by moving towards the corner. That's what it means to me. Which means if you don't move towards the corner, then you don't gain. So it's, he represents the Shitot that learned that there are indeed different directions. The normal assumption is that the different directions are measured by the directions of the world, just as they are by the cities, as we'll see later on. So we take a grid placed on a map of the world, northeast, southwest, build the square along those directions that are around the circle of 2,000 Amot, and that depending on which direction you will carry, or which direction you'll walk when it comes to Tumim, if you walk towards the edges of the grid, so then you're a Niskar Lezaviyot. But if you walk straight in any direction, northeast, southwest, then you're not a Niskar Lezaviyot. So according to him, the same would be true in the Rishut HaRabim. Rashi says, well, when it comes to Rishut HaRabim, Rashi here says, when it comes to Rishut HaRabim, you can't really talk about a grid that has to do with Arba Amot of the world, because the point of Arba Amot and Rishut HaRabim is that it's completely amorphous. That's the whole meaning of Arba Amot. However, we make Arba Amot at any point, that's where the Arba Amot are. To imply that those Arba Amot are on a grid is a contradiction to the concept of Arba Amot. And therefore, in this case, is Rashi and Achinami. What it means over here is no matter where you would carry, the real shear would be 4 Amot plus 8/5 of an Amot. But Mashman, he would agree that in other cases where a grid makes sense, that we would apply that grid. Okay? Another approach is, in the Bali Tosfos, is that the Rabbeinu Tam's approach, by the way, is that it's always a go. The merubah is placed, that's the Rabbeinu Tam here, which is very, very nogeh l'halacha. The merubah is placed and inscribed within a circle, and then that circle becomes now a circle whose radius is actually 2,800 amot in order to include the inscribed square root. Right, because it's the square root of 2 times the 2,000. The square root of 2 to us is 1.4.
L'halacha.
Right, that's 1.4. 1.4, exactly, right. Or how to add no you know another from the
shack on the other one. 2800
feet.
Look on the
box picture. No, don't look at the box picture. It's referring to a particular case.
Does that go to the diagonal of the first corner, or is that the 2800 to the diagonal of the?
I don't know anything about the box picture right now. Please, it's just confusing.
The diagonal of the first square, or is it the diagonal of the second square? Which one's 28? Because the first one would be less.
I don't know anything about the box diagram. I can't answer you.
I
can't answer you as far as...
Where's the 2,000, so I can understand, on that square? The 2,000 amos would be the...
I don't know about this square. Talk to me about a theoretical square.
A theoretical square.
Yeah.
Okay, is the 2,000 in the middle of the line, any of the lines, is that 2,000? Or is it to the corner of the...
Can I defer to... The other people to answer you, since I really I'm trying very hard. I don't understand you, but
2,000 is to the side.
Scott seems to understand.
2,800 is to the corner.
And then how? Then there's a.
And now you're recreating a circle with a 2,800.
The center point to north, south, east, and west is 2,800 on that diagram.
There's a way to take a piece of paper, you'll draw it for me afterwards, okay? So I can understand that.
Yeah.
I only understand with pictures.
Well, I'm going to show you a picture of your little left. Points this or this or three spots.
We'll get to it. Okay. Yes, we're trying our best. So we have now very important my focus about whether this is meant to be applied across the board to all of the Shirim of Shabbat, or whether, on the contrary, this is meant to be applied specifically to the measurements of Arei Leviim. Omer of Papa said once Rava tested us by saying Amud Bereshut Rabim. We have the famous case where you have a pillar in Rishut HaRabim, which is 10 amot, 10 tvachim high, and 4 by 4. Does that 4 by 4 amud have to really be 4 by 4? Now, this how we learn this is a big machlokas based on that machlokas Rishon. Do we need Ein Valach Sonan, which according to Rabbi Natan means, do we actually need, therefore, a 4x4 that would be a circle in which there is a inscribed square of 4x4. Because according to him, that's what creates the Malkam Chasha. 4x4 is not big enough. 4x4 just refers to the inscribed square. But if you don't hold with the Rabbi Natan, then the way to understand the question is, does the 4x4 have to be mechuvan on the grid of the world? And only then you have the makam that has the chashivot of the place of 4x4. Oh, no. And we answered him. Okay, now that is the box little diagram. In other words, in the event that you had a 4x4 piece that was not gridded properly, would that be kosher? Or would we say, well, I mean, you know, you don't really have a makam kosher there because you can't walk, so to speak, you can't put anything on 4 amot with their alakson in the right direction. Because if I try to measure my distance on the southwest, let's say, to the northeast, I only end up with 4, the way this thing is. But I'm supposed to have Ein Valachsonan in reality, and I don't. So I'm upset. Okay, so that's the question. And we answered in Vamrina like Lav Einu de Rav Chananya. Well, is this not a classic case of what Rav Chananya was referring to? In which the Torah defines a city, and that city is given peyot along the matrix of northeast southwest, then this too would have to be the same thing, because he says, Kazei Yekosh of Teshabbat. Or, again, according to Rabbeinu Tam, is this not the same of a city in which a shiur of Alpayim Ama implies the additional zaviyot, and then in a circle, meaning that that becomes now the new radius of the circle? Then here too, 4x4 is only theoretical, because a 4x4 will never be enough. It's 4x4 times the square root of 2 as now the diameter of this circle. And with that, we ended it, and he accepted that. So not only is it a question of how we measure, it's a question of how we construct. what is constructed as Rishut Chashuv. One question is how we carry, or how we throw. Again, if you hold like the Shittot and say, even throwing, and it's measured by the way that you're facing, it comes out. If your body is facing southeast, and you throw to the southeast, so you're chayav at the end of our Ba'amot. Mashenka, if your body continues to face southeast, and you throw south, so then you're only chayav if you throw four amot plus 8/5 of an amot. Okay. Oh, I mentioned to you that there's a fourth shita, which I haven't told you yet. The fourth shita is the Ramban shita. The Ramban shita is that the arba amot brishut harabim is mutar. The arba amot and the 8/5 is chayav dioraita. And the arba amot, between arba amot and arba amot and 8/5 is an isur derabbanan. And that's why we always talk about arba amot brishut harabim. However, the Gra explains the meaning of the Ramban to be an actual relationship to the amorphousness of arba amot brishut harabim that Rashi points out. Therefore, the Gra says, if a person chooses arba amot brishut harabim, then the Ramban is also moda that the arba amot becomes arba amot and the shir. It's just that because of the fact that you're constantly walking around, we don't give you that shear all the time. We answered it in the Rabbanan, because it's impossible to define, since it's an amorphous place. If your kavana was particularly, this is where I want to carry from beginning to end to, because this is my place, which is, you know, Merum is in the Shui Shtachtav, I want to take something from here and move it there, Tachat Margalotav, to bring it to Rosh Hashanah, so then you can define, then maybe it would be mutti. V'zehu sha'amru ha'anim ha'arev barak lav, now, in order to understand this Gemara properly, we need to look back at the Mishnah again and point out the two possibilities, which we did at the time, the two possibilities in the Mishnah. The two possibilities in the Mishnah are based on the fact that the Mishnah discusses three different types of Eruv. The classic Eruv, which is made with a Seudah. The second Eruv is called Ma'arev Biraglav, where he's present in that place where he wants his makom shvita at the onset of Shabbat. The third Eruv is what we've been referring to as apparition, which is called alacha b'makom ploni. In other words, it's a coordinate, an Eruv defined by coordinates, but not defined by your presence. Three completely different types of Eruv. We found a machlokas in the Mishnah as to whether the words that zeo sh'amru, that ha'oni ma'arei paraglav, that, says Rabbi Meir, means dafkan ani. Rabbi Yehuda says, no. Actually, we mention ani, but the primary eruv is to be ma'arev baraglav. It is not clear, and we're going to look in the Mishnah ourselves, it's not clear in the Mishnah whether that's a reference to apparition or whether that is a reference to actually being there. Is that clear? Is it that we're all agreed that, of course, standing in a place is 100% okay, that's a primary eruv. Whether you're an ani or an usha makes absolutely no difference. We're arguing about whether you want to apparate to a place, you want to coordinate Eruv. That is the machlokas, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Or the machlokas, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, might be about any Eruv that isn't done with a piece of bread, or with food. Let's take a look in the Mishnah to see. Let's review it from the beginning. Misha baba der v'chashkano, v'yamakir ilano gader, v'amar shvitati tachtav. Lo amaklum, shvitati bikarol, so then this is Shvita Tiba Malkum Ploni. Okay, Mahalik Malkum Raglav, etc., etc. Now, Ime no Makir, Oshe no Bakiva Alakav, he doesn't know how to operate. And instead, he says, okay, I'm going to stay, this is my place, Shvita Tiba Komi, then his Makom is right there, and he gets Alpayim Amalach Ruach, etc., etc. Continues the Mishnah, Vizohi Sha'amru, Hanima Arev Baraglav. Now, that Vizohi Shamru can be a reference to what we just concluded, and ignore the interruption of the Machlokas of Chanina ben Antignas and the Chachomim about how we measure the 2,000. That's just a continuation of the word Alpayim Amah. Zohi Shamru, therefore, would refer to Shvita Tibim Mekomi. And the Mishnah is saying, the heter to have a Shvita in your place, says Rabbi Meir, Ono Ein Lanu El Ani. That's only said for Aniim. Rabbi Yehuda says, it makes no difference. Then comes the word lo amru ma'arvin b'patel ala hakel. That would still be part of what Rabbi Yehuda is saying. This business about pot. Oh, wait. So the business about pot. So then that would mean that what Rabbi Yehuda is saying, that actually the whole idea of Eru was never meant to be pot. So then if that's the case, Rabbi Yehuda seems to be referring back to the whole thing, which is the Shvitati B'Makom Ploni as well, when he said that, did he mean the case of Shvitati B'Makomi, Lo Amru, or because that's the only place where it becomes an advantage. Think about this for a minute, Rabbi Tan. If you could apparate, then what's the advantage of having an Erev? If you have to go there and you're talking about Shvitati B'Makomi, we'll say, oh my God, I got to schlep out there, I got to walk back 2 kilometers? No. After Shabbat, I got to get the shul on time. What am I going to do? So you could say, fine, send an Erev and it's a big cooler for the usher who doesn't want to schlep back. But if the usher could have apparated there anyway, he didn't have to go there. What's the big deal? I mean, once you get your apparition license, it doesn't matter how many where you're there, and then you go back to shul.
He has to have a specific knowledge of the identity.
Oh, that's a possibility. We could say that maybe the takana, the Erev, is for an usher who is so much of an usher, he ain't ever left town.
Look around.
Born with a golden spoon and chair. Okay, that's a possibility. We'll talk about that in a moment. But you could also understand that the Mishnah is a reference back to the beginning. In other words, okay, now we finished discussing this whole issue 2,000 Amot, it's in Kitab LeMerubah. Now, comes along Rabbi Meir. Aha! This business of being married Biraglav and being able to say, Shita Tiba Makum Ploni, where I don't even have Biraglav, that was only said for money. And on that, Rabbi Yehuda says, that was said for an usher. And then the words, Lo Amrum Arvim Bapat Elalak Elalashir, would be true even according to Rabbi Meir. Because Rabbi Meir was also only arguing about apparition. He wasn't arguing about the question of being Ma'arav Baraklav, of actually being in a place, right? According to this, you're looking confused. You're not confused. Okay, well, you're clearly. All right, so the question is whether primary Erev is being in a place, we'll call that Erev of type 2, or primary Erev is Erev of type 1, which is actually putting something there, and then extended Erev is type 3, which is Makom Ploni, coordinate Erev. So, according to that, Rabbi Meir also agrees that our primary Erev is type 2. He's only arguing with Rabbi Yehuda about type 3. And he's saying, okay, you got to be an Ani in order to have type 3, but an Usher would be able, if he's in his home, so he could send an Erev if he wants. But I agree that certainly if he would be there physically, of course anybody could be there physically. That's the main meaning of being Kohen Shvita. So now the Gemara finally gets to an analysis of what the meaning in the Mishnah. Zohi shamru ani marav baraglav, and Rabbi Meir says, no. All cases, it's only when it says ani means ani, and only ani, and you can't expand it. Amr machloket the mekomi. The machlokus is an Erev of type 2, where you're actually present. Rabbi Meir holds the Iker Erev is of type 1, which is bepat, and it's only where you simply are in a position where you are an ani because you're on the road. And therefore the Rabbanan said, okay, if you're there, you're there. But an usher who's there, then he doesn't have even that option. Rabbi Yehuda Savar, Iker Erev Beregel, Echad Ani Vechad Usher. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, the main Erev, primary Erev is to be there. That's Erev of type 2. The Mokom Ploni Erev, which is type 3, where you define a place where you aren't. Oh, that I agree. And that Divrei HaKol, even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that was only said to somebody who's actually on the road. Ani in Asher Lo, Zohi Shamru. So now, the words in the Mishnah. Zohi Shamru, unquote. Man Katani Lo, who's saying those words? Rabbi Meir is saying them. And on which case is he saying them? For which case is he going? It's going on the case of Erev of the third, of either Eno Makir, Osh Eno Baki Bahalacha. It's going on the case in which he doesn't know where that place is, or he doesn't know he can do such a thing. The lo amruma arvin bapat el alakel, and then the next words in the Mishnah, quote, lo amruma arvin bapat el alakel, man katanila, Rabbi Yehuda is the one that katanila. In other words, because Rabbi Meir would hold that lo, the halacha is that you're ma'arvin bapat under any and all circumstances. To say lo amruma arvin bapat is only possible to be said on the Rabbi Yehuda in this version, because they're arguing even about the question of Iker Eruv Beregel. So again, when we say that the case is a hechakoi, where is the case that says lo ani in ashilo is going on the case of eno makir or she'eno baki ba'alacha? Obviously, he could have said that it's going even on the case of the guy that was poshkalo, and he said shvitat divim b'komi. But the point is that the Mishnah apparently is referring to this case, because this here is the machloket. That's one approach. Rav Chisda says, no, that's wrong. The machloket is about Makom Ploni, a close Eruvim of the third time. But Rabbi Meir there holds, if you want to make a long distance Eruv where you're not, so then only an Oni, not an Oshin. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda holds Echad Oni ve'Echad Oshin. But if you're in the place where your Erev is, and you where you want to be, and you say Mikoni, everybody agrees, even Rabbi Meir agrees that that case could be an Oni, could be an Oshin, because everybody agrees that Iker Eruv Bebregel, and therefore the way to read the Mishnah, quote, V'zohi she'amru, unquote. Yes, that's Rabbi Meir. But on which case is it going on? It's going on the case of Misha Baba Derech V'chashcha. That's the case that it's going on. Where we are making an Eruv, that where I'm going to extend my Eruv. V'lo Amru Ma'arvin B'pat, quote, the words. They only said, Ma'arvin B'pat El Alakel, unquote. That is not referring to this case. That's referring to the other case in the Mishnah, where he didn't know, and he said, Shvitati B'mekomi. And that is said by Divrei Yaakov. Everybody agrees to that. Rabbi Meir also agrees. Lo Amru B'pat. Now, here is for the first time, if we learn the Mishnah this way, then for the first time we have to ask ourselves, so how could it be Lakel, according to Rabbi Yehuda? How is it Lakel if, according to Rabbi Yehuda, an usher could also aberrate to a particular place? And indeed, this is where Tosfos asks. What favor are you doing him by giving him a right to use an Eruv if all he had to do was wave a magic wand? Shouldn't be necessary, Bichlal. And Tosfos answers that inafinami. The only reason it would be la'akel is where there are no specific coordinates that he can operate to. There's nothing there. So he can't say at that base or in this particular place, or he doesn't know. But normally, there you go. Texas.
Actually, Sinai Desert is the most phenomenal thing. You give a Bedouin a ride, and he'll drive with you for an hour and a half, and in the middle of nowhere. He'll say, wait, stop here, I'll get out here. But based on what? There's nothing out there. All the rocks look the same, all the sand. But he seems to know.
Okay. So that you see how we're reading the mission now in two completely different ways. So according to the first version, it makes more sense to say we want to talk about what they're arguing about. They're agreeing in the case in the first version where you're trying to operate. Therefore, the words that are Amru El La'ani, we could say are going on all the other cases, right? But we want to talk about the Stosis is bothered by. When you said those words that we said Zuhi Sha'amru Ha'ani, those words are going on. What? Ainomakir. Why would it have to be going on Ainomakir? It would be going on all the cases. We're trying to isolate what is the case that Rabbi Meir would make that point of. So in the first version, he would be making that point even about Mekomo. In the second version, he's making that point only about Makom Ploni. So there's a difference now to see what Rabbi Meir is trying to say. And of course, there's a major difference in how to understand the closing words of the Mishnah, which is that the Iker Erev is to be there in person. According to the way Rav Chisda is learning, everybody agrees to that. It's not a question. According to the way Rav Nachman is saying, only Rabbi Yehuda says that, and Rabbi Meir couldn't be more powerfully in disagreement. This is the crux of the argument. How could he possibly agree with that statement? Okay. Tanya Kavasid Rav Nachman. Actually, there's a braita that supports the first and more radical machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, namely, that we have over here a machloket about the Iker Takana Veruv, whether it's made with something or whether it's made by being there, and that even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that when it comes to Makom Ploni, you have to be an Ani. We see that clearly from the following braita. It states as follows. Echad Ani ve'echad Ashir ma'arvim bepat. The lo yetzei Ashir chutz l'tchum v'yomar shvitati b'makomi. Aha. So here Rabbi Meir says clearly, you cannot go out. If you are in your home, and instead of sending an Eruv, you want to go out there into the Tchum. The words Chutz L'Tchum are a little bit disturbing. Rashi says Chutz L'Tchum doesn't literally mean Chutz L'Tchum. Chutz L'Tchum is up to the edge of the Tchum. Tosfos says Chutz L'Tchum means Chutz L'Tchum Ha'ir, meaning the Ibor of the ear. Because it's used sometimes in that way. It doesn't mean Chutz L'Tchum Mamish. Chutz L'Tchum could mean within four amot of the Tchum, in which case Rashi, which is another possibility, because you have four amot, which Tosfos says, you mean the guy is a madman. He wants to get to a place where when he comes back home, he'll have four amot. But he can't make it to the bathroom. So he's a nut. We're literally talking about madmen over here, which is why it says it can't mean that John Rashi either. Fine, but we understand that it's a term that needs to be explained. But an usher can't do this. Why not? You're there. Oh, because this was only said in an emergency. Somebody's an onik, and he's got stuck outside, and he was going on the road, as the Mishnah says. Now that is clearly saying that Rabbi Meir is arguing about Shvitati Binekomi, not only about Bamakom Ploni. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says, no, if you actually go there, and in fact, it's fine. He could do that. As a matter of fact, that's the whole point of an Eruv. It's just that the Chachamim extended that concept. He was too lazy to go there. We're trying to make life easier for him. The Omer of Yehuda, I should say the Omer of Yehuda, Maaseh Banshe Beit Memal, Banshe Beit Gurion. And here, of course, there wasn't a good answer because they were going to Aroma. What happened is these people had, I'd say, dried figs, and they had raisins, and they would give it out, and it was tough times. And the aniyim from Kfar Shichim, or from Kfar Hananya, which were outside of the tchum, but which were within the extended tchum of an eruv, they would go umachshichin al hatchum. And they would stay outdoors until it got dark at the extended point, which would allow them to walk to Mamal and to walk to Aroma, where these Anshei Beit Memal and Anshei Beit Gurion were. And they would come because they were hungry. So even though these people were ashirim, because they're in their house, right? But they would go ahead and they would stand there and they would do it. So you see, says Rabbi Yehuda, there's no problem of Shvita Tidim Makomi. So this shows clearly what Rabbi Nachman says is correct, that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir argue about a case in which you're actually there. Nonetheless, Rabbi Meir says that's not an option. If you're not lost there, it's not an option. Well, Ravashi must listen to take a look at our Mishnah, and it's pretty clear, not our Mishnah, we just had the Mishnah coming up, it's pretty clear that the same thing is true. The Rav Nachman is right. It says, Mishi Atzale Lechli Yerushim Arvimla. Somebody who began walking towards a town to which it would have been possible to make an Eruv. And he wants to get to that other town. And what happened is, a friend calls out to him and says, hey, wait a minute, wait, you got a telephone call. He comes back, and he never ends up going. So, Humutar Lelech, he can still go there, even though it's 4,000 alot away. The Cholben, the guy who started going but didn't get there, he could go there on Shabbat. But the rest of the city can't go there on Shabbat. The Cholben Ya'ir Asurim, Divi Rabbi Yehuda. The Avinan Ba, and we asked, Maishna Iyu, Maishna Inu, what's the difference between him and them? The Omer of Una, we're talking about, the guy owns a Shabbat home in the other town. No, he's okay, let me tell you. He's not an Ani anyway. So he's got Shnei Tchumei Shabbat Beinei, and between his two homes, he's got 4,000 Amot. But he needs an Erev in order to get there. So Ihu, given an Afkadei Le'urcha, but because he started going there, he becomes an Ani by definition, because he's on the road. Once he's on the road, Havile Ani. Since he's an Ani, he can be Kone, his Makom Shvita, by simply beginning to go there, because that turned him into an Ani. Now, wait a minute. According to Rabbi Yehuda, he doesn't need to be an Ani, I thought. It was Rabbi Meir who said he needed to be an Ani. Oh, but we're talking about over here having an Erev without actually being there. Ah, Rabbi Nachman said that Rabbi Yehuda said, for that you got to be an Ani. There you go. The Mishnah supports Rabbi Nachman. This is Rabbi Yehuda. Only if he started walking, which turns him into an Ani, so that now he could take advantage of the fact that he was on the road, he didn't make it because of his phone call. The fact is he didn't make it. Okay, so if that's the case, now it becomes an Ani. Everybody else in town are Ashirim, therefore they can't make it.
So couldn't any Asher walk out of his house? Oh, I'm going over there. I've changed my mind.
Maybe. We'll talk about it. Alma, kol bama komploni. So we see every situation of, quote, bama komploni, unquote, which becomes now the technical word for apparition, or to coordinate Eruv. Ani in Asherlo, even according to you, it's got to be an Ani, you can't be an Asher. Shema Mina, which clearly proves that the Mishnah supports Rav Nachman. Because otherwise it doesn't make any sense. Why would Rav Yehuda insist he has to be on the road? What's wrong if he just thinks he wants to go? That's where you relied on the Eruv. and you weren't there Barak Lecha. You sent your Erev and you hadn't been there during, or you brought your Erev before Shabbat and left before Shabbat. That's right. That's right. And according to Rafist, it's even better. That's what I said before. It's Tosis' question. So what's the point of the Erev? You're not being made on. So Tosis says, the only point of an Erev is where you don't have a Mokum Suyim to apparate to. You can't just apparate somewhere. Now, of course, now that we have the satellite system that allows anybody to pinpoint, huh? GPS. You could always give your GPS coordinates. Yeah, from here to, and then it tells you exactly how many
years now. You can know where other people who work with you are.
Ah, that's very dangerous. Oh, boy.
Big Brother is watching.
Forget about Big Brother, your wife.
Your work is that Big Brother?
No. Okay, Shmuel. Are you an usher or an anything?
Starting now.
Okay.
Going up that hill.
I mean, that's nothing for a man who does his mountain climbing every morning. Matzino Rav Chiya Bar Ashi Rav Chiya Bar Avka made a Rav. We already had this, in which Rav Chiya Bar Ashi made the mistake of tutoring Rav's son. Rav was there. And he was saying, Echad Ani Vechad Asher. And Rav said, well, you didn't finish. Sayemba, if you're going to be teaching my son, do it right. Sayemba Nani Halacha Kreb Yehuda. Tell him that halacha is Rebbe Yehuda. Now Rashi says that proves that it means bimakomi like Reb Nachman, and everybody is shocked by this Rashi. How in the world does that prove anything? It doesn't say what the halacha is like aliba de Rebbe Yehuda. The Marsha attempts to give an explanation, which is really problematic. But anyway, you know that this is a problematic Rashi. It's not just that he told him in Nimsayim, but that we're bringing this in the context of proving halacha is Reb Nachman, that's how Rav held. Now, Rabbi Bar Avchan, Rabbi Rada Dotim Artivna Lepumpetita, he used to walk from Artivna every Shabbos to Pumpetisa, and he didn't bother sending an Erev. He would sit at home and, languidly say, I think that the Shabbos, my Shvita, will be in Tzinata, which was on the way, so that way he was able to walk all the way to the yeshiva on Shabbat and from Pedisa. So I'm like, Abaya, what are you doing? My Daitech, how are you getting away this? You're in your home, you're an Ashir, and you're operating to Tzinata. And I assume that you're basing it on the ruling that we had earlier, that where there's a machlokas of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, the halakha is like Rabbi Yehuda. So you're saying, okay, so I can operate. And you're also assuming Rav Chista's approach in the Mishnah, namely, that the machloket between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda is in cases of operation, of Makom Ploni type Erev and of the third type. Problem is that Rav Nachman explained the Mishnah otherwise, and that Rabbi Yehuda is moda that an Erev of the third type, you have to be an Ani. And we brought a Raya Tanik Abatei. We showed from the Mishnah and from the Braita that Rav Nachman's approach was correct. So what are you doing? Okay, I'll repeat. I give up. Won't do it anymore. Omar Rabbi Barcham. Hare Amru. Shabbat Yeshua Abamo. Now, we had before the case, where the guy is, this is our case in the Mishnah, even if he's outside of his Eruv, four Amot he has. How about if you put an Eruv in a place, do you also get four Amot? Because when you're Kona Baraglev, we say yes, four Amot, and then out of those four Amot, he has Alpayim or Kol Ruach. Does an Eruv achieve that as well, to give you an area of four Amot? Because remember, the idea of the four Amot wasn't directly connected to Eruv, it was connected to personal space. So I understand. If you're there, you have that personal space, which Rabbi means actually extends the Gabi Dinam of Huve, Ruvu, Gomakam, Akad, and so on. The Gabi, any Dinam of Tchumim. But how about when there's no personal space? You put your food down. I mean, if you're in an elevator, you can fill up the whole elevator with food and nothing's going to start screaming, stop, you're going to get close. So personal space extends when you're there, not when your food is there. So maybe when your Eruv is there, there's no Arba Amot. You have to measure 2,000 Amot from the Eruv itself. Very interesting question. So I know Tenet Eruvot, Yesh Arba Amot or Lo. Says Rava, of course, Rava is our master of this issue, personal space. He's the one that was Machadish's whole halacha of the extension of personal space, having a whole dinner of 20. So Rava says, well, I mean, it seems clear because, I mean, Rabbi Yehuda says, Lo amrum ha'argim b'pat el ala hakel ala ashir. The only reason we have pot is to make life easier for Nosh. Shelo yetzei v'arev baraglav. But if you're telling me that you don't get the additional four amot of personal space, then you're making life harder on the Ashir because he doesn't get those four amot. What if he needs those four amot to reach the bathroom on the other end? Then what happens? So then, he amit ein lo, I lach hell, lach miru. You're making life hard for him. No, come on. I feel lucky, Nechon. The guy's willing to lose those paltry four amot to get himself 2,000 amot and not have to schlep out there. He doesn't have mitra, he doesn't have to go out there, the tircha, the nefut, to schlep out to the tomb and then come home. So it still would be perfectly reasonable to use the word lahakil al ha'ashir, even though he may be losing out on some minor value that he could have had by being there personally. Very good. Mm-hmm.